Looking in the book of Exodus chapter 17 this morning, we're going to begin reading in verse 8. We're going to continue our study of Israel, and we're going to see this morning how that Israel learns to fight. I thought about entitling this message, Fight Like a Man. We had a saying growing up, you know, you fight like a girl. Has anybody ever heard that? But since I've grown up, I've come to realize that most of the time girls win. So maybe we should fight like a girl, you know? We're going to face the spiritual battles in life, and we are going to face spiritual battles in this life. We're going to have to learn how to fight, just like Israel had to learn how to fight. Would you stand with me as we read from Exodus chapter 17, verse 8? There it says, Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, Choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, Write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. So glad to have my son in the services. Adam, would you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. All right. Israel learns how to fight. If we're going to be a force in this world for the cause of Christ, if we're going to make a difference in this world for the cause of Christ, we're going to have to learn how to fight. And it starts with the war. Did you know there's a war going on? We look here at the beginning of the war for Israel. They had an unfair enemy. An enemy who was ruthless. And you see, Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And same people here that we call the Amalekites. Okay? And they were just ruthless. Unfair. Mean. And we get that this attack that occurred in Exodus that we're looking at doesn't give us all the details. But in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 18, we see a few more details. It talks there about how they attacked the ranks, the rear ranks of Israel. All the stragglers, all the sick folks, all the tired and the weary. Those were the people that they attacked as they attacked Israel at this point. See, they didn't want to fight. They wanted just to be mean and kill off some of the weak and the sickly ones. Their target were those that couldn't defend themselves. And this caused an unrestrained response through Israel. Israel is like, oh no, you didn't. You know? Israel is like, you don't do that to us. Moses calls upon Joshua here and he says, choose men who will go out and fight for us. And you don't get the real gist of the meaning there. The idea is choose us some men. They want to fight the weak and the sick. You choose us, our 18. Soldiers who are ready to go out. Soldiers who are willing to go out. And we don't want to just be protected. We want you to go wage war against this ruthless, unfair nation. Send in SEAL Team 6. That's the concept here. Send in the big guns. Find the best of the best to fight on our behalf. And I thought about this, you know, and I got to considering, and you know where this is leading. First of all, we have to understand there is a war going on. And we have to understand that there is an enemy. And my fear today is that so many look at our enemy as a fairy tale. Do you realize that Satan is not a fairy tale? That he is a vicious, ruthless being that has only the desire to destroy God's elect. He's uncaring and he wants to fight. Actually, he doesn't really want to fight. He just wants to mow you down. Okay? We read in 1 Peter 5:8 where he's goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So grab a hold of this idea that he has the intention of destroying you and destroying your children and destroying your grandchildren and destroying everything that's good, and he's not going to play fair. But I want you to understand who you are. Do you realize? Are you ready? You are our SEAL Team 6. Okay? You are the ones that are going to have to get in the trenches and fight the battles day in and day out. You, moms and dads, are fighting for the spiritual lives of your children. You, teenagers, are fighting for your lives in the halls of the high schools every week. You, college students, are the ones who are going to have to take a stand if a difference is going to be made at Tech University. You are fighting the battle. And the first challenge I want to get across to you today is to have that attitude of, oh no, you didn't. Satan, I will not bow down. Satan, I will not let you destroy my life, nor will I let you destroy my friends. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul shares with young Timothy there. He said, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare." The idea there is to fight a good conquest. It's not just one battle. It's a conquest. Do you realize when we dismiss this service today, you are going out on a conquest this week. And your conquest is to defeat Satan, because believe you me, he wants to destroy you. He's not going to play fair. He's going to attack you at your weak points. He's going to go after our children. And we have to have an attitude. An attitude to fight and win. And I think that's why our country seems to be slipping in morality and in ethics and in just people willing to take a godly stand, because I think perhaps we're coming to the point as Christians where we don't want to fight. I remember back in the 60s when Vietnam was going on, there were some that didn't want to go to Vietnam, so they went to Canada. They didn't want to fight. Listen, there's a war going on. What are you going to do about it? Where are you going to be found in this war? Are you going to be those that when we leave this morning take a stand for morality? Take a stand for the Lord and proclaim the greatness of Jesus Christ in your life? Or are you just going to be kind of wishy-washy and try to be neutral? Neutrality never works. You have to be on one side or the other. Consider, first of all, the war. Secondly, I want you to consider the weapons of war. First thing they had was the sword in the hand of Joshua. Moses commissioned this young man named Joshua as the commander to lead in this battle. He was to lead the troops. Joshua was a warrior. He's the one that when they get to the promised land the first time and they send 12 spies across, he's one of the 12 spies. And he and Caleb comes back and says, "Let's go get them. God is on our side. We can take the land." The other 10 spies come back and say, "Oh, we can't do it. They're big. They're giants." Joshua and Caleb says, "God's with us. We can do it. Let's fight." So Joshua is the warrior to lead this battle. And I got to thinking about that. Who's going to be the first one this week to take a stand in your high school? Who's going to be the first one that says, "No, Satan, you can't have that in my life"? Who's going to be the first one to say, "We need a leader and I'm the guy"? You know, we need people like that in church today. You see, we have the concept of I've done everything I'm supposed to do when I come to church, and I come to church and I've done my part. No. You come to church to be refueled. You come to church to be in the presence of God. And when you leave church with the mentality of it's time to go to battle. It's time to make a difference. It's time to fight. There has to be people willing to stand, to serve, to get into the trenches and make a difference in our community. Do you realize that you have the greatest gift ever known to mankind, and that gift is salvation if you're a child of God? Now listen, I'm preaching this to save people, and I realize, but realize this only works when you're saved. Okay? You have to first be a child of God. Have you ever come to that point in your life where you've given your heart to Christ? If you have, then you're in the Lord's army. Let's go fight. Amen? Let's go do battle. Let's quit rolling over. And let's quit making excuses. "Oh, we're living in the end times. It's the sign of the age." No! We're the salt of the earth. We're here to make a difference. We're here to be warriors. We're here to be SEAL Team 6. You can tell I look like a SEAL, don't I? Don't answer that. We'll just leave that there and move on to the next point. First thing they had people willing to go fight the battle. Second thing they had, the staff in the hand of Moses. Now this is where the story gets really great. Moses is going to stand. He approaches Joshua and says, "Joshua, you find the A-team for us. You find SEAL Team 6 and you go down and fight the battle. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to stand on the hill with the rod of God in my hand." Sounds like one wonderful battle plan, wasn't it? I'm thinking someone had to say, "Now wait a minute, Moses. You are our leader. You need to get yourself down here and get in the battle. You should be the one leading our troops." But before you go there, I want you to consider what it meant. Number one, it meant encouragement for the children of Israel. As they're fighting, as the troops, SEAL Team 6, are down in the valley fighting, they can look up and they see Moses up on that hill with a rod of God in his hand, representing or symbolic of the intercession being made on their behalf. And that's an encouragement. You know, it's encouraging for me as a pastor when people come to me and say, "I'm praying for you." That means so much to think that I'm being lifted up before the God of the universe and prayed for. You want to bless somebody, just go up to them and say, "I want you to know I'm praying for you." That matters. And if you're a leader, I want you to understand the encouragement that you are. Just as Moses was on that hill and they could look and they could be encouraged by his presence and his intercession to God, I want you to understand that you are probably in a leadership role at some point. For example, if you're a teacher, do you realize how encouraging it is for your teachers, for your students in your Sunday morning Bible study class to walk into your classroom and see you there? You wouldn't think that's a big deal. That is a big deal. That your presence there, that you being there prepared to teach, it means something. And if you're a children's teacher, it really means something to see those kids to come into your room and to know that that's my teacher. And if you're not there, you know what the first thing they're going to ask is? They're going to say, where's my teacher? Your presence is an encouragement. Do you know, moms and dads, that your presence is an encouragement? And I realize we live in a world that says, the family does not need a mama and a daddy, but that's hogwash. A family needs a mama and a daddy. Okay? And your kids coming home each day to a mama and a daddy is an encouragement to them. So there is something to this encouragement that Moses was doing as he stood up there on the hill representing God, holding the rod of God in his hand. But the really awesome thing that he was doing was that he was making intercession for the warriors down below. Now stay with me here. Moses standing on that hill, he's not just standing there saying, look at me. You know what he's doing? He's holding that rod up, that staff up, and he's praying, God, help our warriors. Help our fighting men. God, give them strength. God, give them the victory. God, provide what they need. And I want you to understand that the one of the most important things for us to realize is we are not just fighting a physical battle. We are fighting a spiritual battle. And as such, there has to be a lot of intercession going on. People talking to God. If you want to move mountains, get on your knees. If you want your children delivered from addiction, get on your knees. If you want God to impact the lives of your grandchildren, get on your knees. Intercede on their behalf. Because it is a supernatural battle. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, Paul shared with the church at Ephesus, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles in the Greek is where we get our word methods from. We could say, stand against the methods of the devil. You're going to have to be spiritually equipped to fight a spiritual battle. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. This is a war that you can't always fight with your hands. It is a war that has to be a supernatural has to be fought on a supernatural level. My friends, what I want you to get at this point is it's not just about the people who are serving. It's also about the people who are praying on our behalf and on your behalf. And the more spiritual responsibility you have, the more need you have of being a prayer warrior. Now I want to ask you, how is your prayer life? Say, Brother Doug, sometimes, do you ever not feel like praying? Would you raise your hands? There are times you don't feel like praying. I raise my hand. Do you know what I've come to figure out? It doesn't matter how I feel. God is still God. He's still on His throne. And He still responds to the prayers of His people. So the more I don't feel like praying, the more I come to realize I need to get on my knees. Because there's a battle going on. A battle in which our children hang in the balance. A battle in which our families hang in the balance. A battle in which you and I hang in the balance. And the only way we can fight this battle is divine intervention. How's your prayer life? We looked at the weapons of war. Yeah, we had willing soldiers, but we also had intercession going on behalf of these men and women who were fighting. Are you interceding? And let's go on to the weariness of war. You ever get tired? Let's talk about the secret to Moses' strength. Moses, as long as Moses had his hands up, Israel prevailed. And when Moses let his hands down, the Amalekites prevailed. You know? So, as long as Moses holds the rod up, Israel wins. If he drops that, Israel loses. I find it interesting that Moses is accomplishing more on the hill praying than the soldiers are actually fighting the battle. Isn't that cool? Faithful intercession is the key to strength. Sometimes you come to that point where success is getting away from you. Moses was approaching that point that even though he had a desire, he couldn't hold up his hands anymore. There was nothing left. You know, it's not always fighting the battle that drains your strength. It's hard to carry the burdens of other people. Your teachers, your pastors, our associate pastors, sometimes it's a load. And don't get me wrong, I love for you to share your burdens. I love to pray for you and I want to pray for you. But boy, sometimes it gets pretty heavy. What do you do when you come to that point when it gets so heavy that you don't know how you're going to make it through? When it gets so heavy that, you know, and all of us have been here. Pastors, teachers, parents. What do you do when you get to that point where, God, I want to, but I just can't go any farther. You want to run. But you can't run because people are depending on you. You want to quit. But you can't quit because people are depending on you. I can see Moses as his hands get lower and lower. God, I can't quit. Israel is depending upon me. So what do you do when you get to that point you can't go any farther? You win the war. I love this part. You win the war. Moses was struggling for strength. I can just imagine. The first hour, it's no big deal. I can handle this. Second hour, have you ever tried to hold your hands up? This is no big deal. Until an hour from now, 2 hours from now, 3 hours from now. And you know what's going to happen? With each passing minute, my hands are going to get lower and lower and lower to the point where I have no strength left and I'm just, God, I can't lift my arms anymore. Moses had reached that point. I think somebody should have said, Moses, you do your job. Now that's the job you started out to do. That's the job you selected for yourself. Now suck it up, get tough, and get up there and hold your hands up. We're good at that as Christians, aren't we? As Christians. Quit your whining, come on. Do your job. Tough love. When there are times when tough love's appropriate. But I'm going to tell you, if you've never been to that point where you just can't hold your arms up anymore, you just can't continue anymore, you know what I'm talking about. Been there a few years ago. And you know what makes a difference when you get to that point? Everybody come on board with me at this point, okay? You know what makes a difference when you get to that point? When you get to that point, when there's someone that'll come and not judge you and say, well, you should have done this and you should be stronger than that and you should be better than that. And that's not what you need to hear. When there's somebody that'll come by your side and look at you and say, okay, now what can I do to help you do what you need to do? Aaron and Hur, they come out to the rescue. The support of special people. They didn't give Moses a hard time. They didn't say, Moses, come on and get with it. They said, what can we do so that Moses can do what Moses needed to do? And they brought a rock and gave it to Moses to sit on. I'm sure after a few hours it felt good to sit down. But Moses still had the same problem. He couldn't hold up his hand, symbolic of the intercessory prayer going up on Israel's behalf. So Aaron and Hur, you know what they did? One on one side, the other on the other side. They took his arms and they held him up. And you know what happened? Israel won the war. A few years ago, I came to a point in my ministry. Really difficult time in life. The storms everywhere you turn, storms are brewing. And I came to that point where I just didn't know how I was going to take the next step. And I had a friend. His friend's name is Lynn Rayburn. He's a missionary. And he'd come along beside me and he said, Doug Hamburg, the first thing you need to do is you need to let me help you. And I was super preacher at that time. I don't need no, you know. But I came to that point where I had nothing left. And the reason I'm in ministry today is because somebody came to my side and said, let me help you. And you know what? He did. He helped me. He made me realize that I wasn't a super preacher. He made me realize that there's some other things I needed to consider. He helped me. Now, I want to offer you this. And Brother Lynn's supposed to come see us here in a couple of weeks. Great guy. He's going to be here on Sunday night, December the 8th. But he's very special in my life because he was my Aaron. He held me up when I couldn't hold myself up anymore. But I want to offer you this. If we're going to fight the battles, we're going to have to learn to hold one another up. Okay? Because it's not just preachers that come to that point that I can't do this anymore. It's associate pastors. It's music directors. It's Sunday school teachers. And sometimes it's just Christians. You see, it's moms that have poured their heart out into their families and done all they can do, and they can't, you know, they just have no strength left. What do they need? They need somebody to come by and say, give me your arms. It's dads who poured their heart out into supporting their family, and they come to that point where maybe they don't have a job, or their job is falling apart, or they're taking pay cuts, and their family's being threatened, and they've done all they can do, and you say, let me hold up your arms. You see, everybody comes to that point. Your Sunday school teacher, pouring his heart out week after week into that message, let me hold up your arms. Because all of us at some point or another will come to that point. It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. And let me tell you something, children. If you're living at home, give me your undivided attention at this point. Are you with me, children? Teenagers, I know you don't like to be called children. It is a big deal being a mom and dad. It is a big deal putting food on the table and clothes on your back. It is a big deal raising you. And you may be in the fifth grade, and you may be in the 10th grade. You can be a help to your parents. You can be that encouragement that comes up to their side and says, "Daddy, I love you. Mom, I love you so much and I'm so thankful for you." You can be that Aaron. And when mom and dad says, "I need some help, here's some chores to do," quit your whining. Come on, moms and dads. There we go. Quit your whining and be responsible. Be a help. College kids. You're probably coming to that point right now that you're realizing mom and dad's not nearly as dumb as you thought they were. Go back and tell them. Hold up their arms. Say, "My mom and dad are doing okay." That's all right. Catch them before they can't hold it up anymore. All right? Students in our Bible study classes, you make sure you're holding up your teacher's arms. You know what happened? They won. They won! And you know why they won? Because there were soldiers willing to fight, there were intercessors willing to pray, and there were silent partners willing to come alongside them when they didn't have any strength left to hold them up and make sure they could do what they were supposed to be doing. And had any one of these failed, they would have lost that war. Had the soldiers refused to fight, the whole nation would have suffered. Had Moses' hands fallen for good and there been no one to help his hold his hands up, once he ran out of strength, the whole nation would have suffered. Had Aaron and Hur not helped, the whole nation would have suffered. What am I saying? I'm saying everybody's got to be involved. Everybody's got to be involved. There has to be warriors, there has to be intercessors, and there has to be those who help hold one another's hands up. When you come to that point where you're so we're thus united, my friend, Satan better watch out, because we will steamroll him. We will make a difference raising our kids. We will make a difference teaching in our classes. We will make a difference in the community of Russellville. You know, fighting is, there's a little more to it than just fighting. You got to. We're fighting a holy war. And fighting spiritual spiritual wars, holy battles, you've got to do it on a spiritual level. Number one, are you saved? Are you a child of God? If not, this message has been of little value to you. I don't want to tell you, I'm glad to be a child of the King. When this life is over, I know where I'm going. And the reason I know is not because of what I've done. It's not because of what I've earned anything. It's because Jesus Christ died for me. And I ask Him to save me. You see, the Bible tells us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? Have you come to that point in your life where you cried out to Jesus knowing that you couldn't do it alone? If not, it's invitation time. It's time for you to come to Jesus for salvation. Maybe you're here and you're fighting. The battle's getting hard. How's your intercession? How much time have you spent praying? And I look back at my life, I dare say I didn't spend nearly enough time. Often I've been trying to do supernatural things with my natural power, and it does not work. The altar's open for you. Maybe you're here and you're at that point in life where you've been pushed and you've just given your all and strength is almost gone. You need some help. You need to let somebody know. Come tell me. Come tell your dear friend. Come tell someone. I need help. I can't hold this much longer. Maybe you're here and there's another need in your life. Just know this, Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus is the answer. How are things in your relationship with Christ? Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the day. We thank you for this lesson that you've given for an example to us. And Lord, we all come to those points where we fight battles that we can't fight on our own. Life is a battle we can't fight on our own. So today, Lord, we just come to you, praying for one another. Help us, Lord, to be good parents. Help us, Lord, to be good students of your word. Help us, Lord, to make a difference. Help us, Lord, to be supportive of one another. And Lord, most certainly help us that when those of us come to that point where we just can't go on, Lord, may we flock to their side. Hold up their hands and carry them through. Oh Lord, we thank you for the salvation that you offer to all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.